Our Father in heaven, giver of all life and author of all things good, we entrust our great nation into your care, for it was you, our good shepherd, whom our founders followed. You are the creator and grantor of our cherished rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All are forged by your loving grace. Guide our leaders in the paths of righteousness and justice. May their service to our nation be honoring to you, and may their decisions reflect your will. Remind us that true happiness is found only in Christ. Protect our men and women who fight for our freedom. Bless your church to shine and drive out the darkness in our cities. And remind us that your kingdom is not a red state nor a blue state. Your kingdom is not of this earth. So we plead with you. Bring conviction to our hearts and revival to this land. Send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and come dwell with your people. Today, we honor our Creator, our Lord, our Father. Thank you for your grace and blessings. May you continue to bless our great nation. We pray to you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Appropriate prayer, wouldn't you say? In light of our just coming away from celebrating the 4th of July or Independence Day, God's doing a great many things. What a good reminder of why we are a nation today and who formed us and how we have gotten to where we are. And let us not ever let go of that because we need to be mindful of that as we continue as a nation and as a people of God. Everything I just could hear and see and imagine the Spirit of God in between the lines of that prayer. The power of God in what has been done in forming our nation and making us the people we are. But it is also the Spirit of God that maintains the integrity of our nation and who we are. And it is the Spirit of God that maintains our freedoms, which really starts here and should permeate out there. That's when we think back at the nation's founders, whether they believed or not, the Spirit of God was entwining himself in everything that was done. When you think about what this country and this nation has gone through, to be able to be formed has to be beyond human abilities. It took human sacrifice, it took human effort, but it was the power of God that was doing it and forming the nation and bringing it to the place of freedom and independence. Right? And so today I want to continue with you along the lines of the Spirit, and I want to talk to you about being set free. And I kind of gave thought this week, especially as I thought of our youth in the church, especially our young kids. Each of us, when we were children, everyone here remember playing tag? Oh, come on, hands are not going up. Really, have you forgotten? Okay, I was just wondering, you're starting to scare me, okay? If you've forgotten playing tag, then something's going on, all right? But right, you guys play tag, right? So tag is great, isn't it? Get to run like crazy, run all around, but it's a drag to get tagged, right? Especially if you're playing freeze tag. Right? You can't move until what? That's right, until you're freed up. And that's the great thing of playing these games and getting tagged and being freed up, right? I mean, I really do believe that God has created us to be free. That's why he formed this nation. You know, he gave freedom to a people who desired freedom, right? And just the simple things in life kind of remind us of that, like playing a game of tag, you know? I mean, if I could run like I used to, I probably would want to play, you know? But the knees aren't what they used to be, and so I've kind of resigned from the game of tag. But it doesn't take anything away from the fact that we have freedom. But imagine if you went to go play the game of tag, and you got tagged, and you had to stay there the whole game. Not much fun in that, is there? Right? You can't move, you can't run, you got to stay put, right? That, what kind of fun is that? That's not playing, you know? It's restrictive, right? You got to stay. You can't move. Well, see, I think that's really the difference of what God is trying to do in our lives, is he's trying to bring about a people from the very beginning who could be free to move about and have life. And so that's where I want to go with you today. I want to talk to you about the God who has set things in motion by his Spirit, you see? Because everything that was in that prayer today, everything that God has done in our world and done for this nation has done by the power of his presence. Now, sometimes we're on board with that, and sometimes we're not. But that does not stop God from doing what he wants to do and bringing about freedom. So this morning, as we go in to this, I wanted to look at, starting with two scriptures. Isaiah 61:1 is the first one, right? And I want to say to you that God has always, from the beginning, intended us to live free. I believe that when he made the world and he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he made them to be free. That was his desire for them, right? Later on, Isaiah speaks about, well, the king to come. And he's introducing him here. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Isaiah says, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound. Because many of us, if not all of us, know that he's introducing the king to come, the one who would bring freedom to a people. At the time when Isaiah was speaking this, he was talking to a people who were in bondage, who were captive to Babylonian rule, to a foreign an entity, who needed to know that there was hope and something to look forward to, and that there would be freedom available for us. It's like getting tagged and being set free. You don't have to stay locked in place, right? Well, later on, Jesus would come along, the very one that Isaiah was talking about. You say, who is this guy talking about? Isaiah wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about one to come. And Jesus comes along and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, we know at that time, for the Israelites, it was Roman occupation that held them in place, who oppressed them, who told them where they could go and what they could do and how to live. They put restraints on them and taxed them and burdened them and oppressed them and threatened them in many different ways, physically, emotionally, financially. Not much freedom in that. Not much freedom at all. But here now is the one who has come to set them free. But what did that mean? Because for many of them, it was all about Roman rule. But I want to tell you that God starts from the inside and works out. It wouldn't be too many, many years later that they would be free from Roman rule. But at that moment in time when Christ showed up, he was showing up to free them from internally. Because a lot of times our circumstances, as you and I well know, don't change. Sometimes they take a long time to change. What do we do in the meanwhile? Walk around with long faces? Sometimes. Remember Pastor Art saying many years ago that Christians shouldn't look like they've eaten sour grapes. But sometimes we get pulled down, we get discouraged, right? So Christ has come to set us free internally, inside, by placing his Spirit in us, so that the things of our lives, the circumstances, the things that we find oppressive and discouraging, and it can be a good many things that imprison us. I don't know about you, but when you're not feeling physically well, do you feel alive? You feel like you want to skip and for joy and, you know, sing a song? You feel shut down. There's something going on in your system. You feel oppressed. Simply saying, you don't feel yourself if you should experience an injury or a wound. Or that unexpected bill shows up in the mail that you weren't prepared for. You feel this going on inside. Not again. Like going through a red light camera. You with me on that? I want to kick myself when I do it. I think I've said this to you before. Coming up on Montauk Avenue and coming up to CVS, I hate that red light camera. Why? Because I got nailed there. So sometimes I'm saying, you know what? Later for you, I'll go through the parking lot. I take my time. I don't go racing around. And I make my way around to Phyllis so I can get home, because I'm not going to let you have another opportunity to nail me if I should make a mistake or forget myself, right? Because nothing, it's just get that in the mail and go, oh, another $80. But God in all of it, whether it's that or something more or something serious, wants to free us, because those things don't stop. Getting older will not stop. The aches and pains, and I try a lot of different natural substances, they still continue. Nothing's going to stop me from getting older. What do we do about it? Oh God, here I am. I'm your child. I need aid. You know, I need your help. And so Christ comes to set us free, and God is in the business of setting us free. And the way he does it is by placing his Spirit upon the face of this earth. The Bible tells us that someday that Spirit is going to leave this place, and what a dark day it will be. But for now, we have the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, and where does he dwell? Right here, right inside. And nobody can take that away. No one. It's ours for the caring, ours for the nurturing, ours that wherever we go, it goes with us. And so, seeing that God is all about setting us free, Jesus went forth. And interestingly enough, he came away from being baptized. And what does he do? He goes out into the wilderness and gets tested. And what does he do after that? The first place he begins his mission is at home. He goes back to Nazareth. He goes back to his hometown. And you would think he would be accepted there. And here he is bringing a message to set people free. And isn't it nice to think that he would begin at home, where he grew up, with people that he knows, with family members that he has grown up with. But when he poses Isaiah's scripture, he's rejected, turned away. As if they were to say, we don't want what you have to offer, because they didn't. But they needed it, every bit as much, if not more, than the next person. Because he wants to give them the very thing that the Father gave him to bring to the people, is freedom. From the things that they found oppressive, from the things that they found holding them down and afflicting them and discouraging them. And so, as he was trying to do that, he's rejected. And from there, he went on to other places where he was well-received, more than he was at home. And he brought a message to bring people forward. Now, I don't know about you, But there isn't a day that goes by in my life where I really need God to bring me forward, to draw me out, to set me in motion. Lord, direct me would be my prayer. Lord, guide me. Lord, whoever I meet today, could you possibly use me? That's my heart. That's my prayer, oh God, to you. And so God is in the business of doing that. But like any nation, any people who have been set in motion to be free, it does not come without a cost, and there is always someone trying to take it away. And it gives reason of why we need the Spirit of God each and every day, why we need to entreat the Spirit of God, to nurture the presence of God in our lives by the things that we do. Because it is His presence that keeps one free. It's like kids, if you're playing tag, it's like having someone near you that's ready to tag you every time you get frozen, to tag you and free you up like that. Think about the Spirit of God of being that person inside of our lives, inside of our hearts, that's ready to tag us every time we get tagged and have to stop. Because He knows that there is a power out there that is trying to discourage and to shut us down. And this gets reflected in Paul's writings to the Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 with me. Paul says this: "For freedom, Christ has set us free." God's desire, God's heart, is for us to be a free people. "So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Do not submit again. Points to the fact that there is a power. There is something out there that would love to restrict, hold down, shut down God's people. Imprison them again. Hold them back from growing and experiencing life. There's always a force, a power that seeks to do that in our lives. We have experienced it through our lives. So I thought this year, this week, I should say, as we went through Independence Day, back then, it was King George III who sought to deny the people who came across to live freely by laying one tax upon another tax upon them, to the point where something snapped. And the people realized that something needed to change. Right? I gave thought to back in Civil War days. It was Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, such individuals like that that wanted to restrict the freedom of others by keeping slavery alive in our country, in our nation. We roll through history, we see people like Adolf Hitler during the Second World War, or Nikita Khrushchev through the Cuban Missile incident when Kennedy was president. There will always be someone that will look to deny people their freedom. Let's just get used to it. It's all around our world. It is continually looking to infiltrate even the very culture where you and I live today. Hard for us to imagine that could ever be possible. That freedoms would be denied. That liberty would be shut down. That you and I couldn't go and do as we thought and seemed right for us and our families. But I want to say to you that these powers look to throw back, look to set back, and it's the Spirit of God who looks to set us forward, to keep us moving in the right direction, literally flowing and making ground in our lives, in our faith, in who we are as a people. I want to share, Frank, if we can, that brief video. Here's a woman at the airport. Watch her very carefully. Yeah. What you don't hear because we took out the sound, is that the people who made this recording, I don't know what country it was taken in, but they did not speak English. But they could, when they laughed, it was in English. And they watched, because laughing is a universal language, right? Doesn't matter what you speak, when you laugh, it's understood. Oh, you're laughing. Here's someone who just got off track. Maybe it was the first time, you know, in all fairness to her, maybe it was the first time she was at the airport, I don't know. But she was moving in the direction she wanted to go, but there was something that would have allowed, if allowed, would have held her back and taken her right back to where she started. You see? And that is something that is always going to confront us. We should not be surprised when you and I struggle through life at times, because there is a force that looks to draw us back, suck us back in, cause us to go in reverse, and where God is looking to move us forward. Now, seeing that is going to be a constant challenge, I wanted to take a look at you, with you today, and to consider how we are afflicted in this and why we need the Spirit of God so that we can remain a free people. Look at Isaiah 43:2 with me. I think for some of us it's a very familiar scripture. Isaiah says this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you." Isaiah is using this metaphoric language, this imagery of water and fire, because quite often it can be shown, even in scriptures, about how it thwarts. You think back in the Old Testament, when God's people were freed from Egypt, they found their backs up against the Red Sea, and God parted the waters. They were able to walk through safely, soundly. They were not overwhelmed. They were not swamped. They were not wiped from the face of this earth, but their enemies were. God granted them freedom. He not only set them free from a land where they were imprisoned, he took them completely through the whole journey and set them free. This is the Spirit of God at work, moving his people from one freedom to another freedom, to another freedom. That is the movement of the Spirit of God. That is the power of God working in lives of people, desiring to keep them free, in tune with him and moving together. Another portion of scripture, we had three guys by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, held in a foreign land because they would not comply with the king's orders. They were thrown into a fiery furnace, so hot that the very gods that went near it died instantly. But they were placed in it, and they were not burned. Their clothes were not singed. Have you ever burned hair on your body? I was in a plumbing job once, did this customer every year. They would go away to Florida. So I was in the process. I would go there in the fall, and I would winterize their home. That means shut everything down, drain everything down, antifreeze the fixtures, traps. Nothing would split, nothing would freeze, because everything would get shut down. The boiler, everything. And then I would go back in the spring before they would come back from Florida and turn everything back on. And this year I went to go light the boiler. And something wasn't right. You see, because they had an older boiler and it had a button that you had to depress to get the pilot lit. But somehow that button got stuck in the on position. And when I went to go light it, bam! I got thrown back, and the first thing I can remember is smelling the hair on my face. My eyebrows were singed. I was like, what in the world just happened? For these three guys, that didn't happen. They were actually able to walk out. And we even told a fourth figure showed up. The presence of God in that fiery furnace with them. See, this is the promise of God, that you know what? You're going to get hit with storms in your life. There are going to be high waters. There are going to be floody moments, messy, muddy moments. You're going to feel the heat of your culture and your world when they tell you certain things, that you have to live a certain way. And I want to tell you that God says, I have set you free. You will not drown. You will not burn. You will not be scorched. Your clothes or your hair, you will be okay because I am with you. I am with you. And that is because the Spirit of God is present, working in us, and doing His thing in our lives. And our thing is to do this, is to be faithful to Him as much as we can, as often as we can, to turn to Him and cultivate a Spirit-filled life. Because no one is going to hand that to you on a silver platter. It will never come easy. Don't expect it to. Every day is a struggle if you plan on seeking the Lord and following His will. No one's going to make it easy for you, except when we're together, right? Whether it's in Wednesday night Bible study or the women's group on a Thursday morning or in the evening when they meet. These are the times when God is present in the congregation, in the midst of a few, that He speaks to people, encourages us, helps us, carries us through the week, through our struggles. The Spirit of God at work. Always at work. So, you and I are a people who have been set free, have we not? I mean, that's the way I think of the church. I thought of it this way. Who better than to send out into the world as Jesus said they would be, and as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came and directed people to go out in the world, who better than people who have had at times a messy existence, who have experienced trouble in their life, who have fallen, blown it? Who better to tell somebody that there is a life that can be freeing and empowering than someone who was once imprisoned? Who better to go out and to share with people a message of freedom and liberty, a message that you can have a better life than you have now because the Spirit of God can do a work in you, than people who have been imprisoned and held captive by a life that they once lived but no longer live? And so it makes sense when Jesus says, but you, in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses in Medford, in Patchogue, in Selden, in Shirley, in East Merritt, in the Hamptons, Garden City, Hicksville, you name it. Wherever you go, we are God's witnesses. And to what? That we were once imprisoned, once blind, right? Didn't we just sing it, Amazing Grace? But we were set free by the Spirit of God. And it's by that presence in our lives that we continue in freedom. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And it's the only way we are going to have a message that is worth sharing with anyone around us, is that the Spirit of God has set us free. And we are free indeed. So what is the end game? Is there an end game? Well, what is the next step? But to continue to cultivate a life of the Spirit. And by the way, I would encourage you to use as an alarm system. Have an alarm system. When you feel held back by pressures, by burdens, when you feel oppressed, when you don't feel free in your spirit. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying every day should be paradise, you know. You wake up and, you know, you slide down the banister into the kitchen, turn the coffee pot on, you're ready to go. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you don't feel like that, that the Spirit of God can cause your joints to move, to get from point A to point B when you and I don't feel like getting from point A to point B. We would much rather stay in bed and not do anything because we just don't feel up for it. I want to tell you that the Spirit of God is able to move us, to lube the joints, to free the heart, because we continue to take the time to turn to Him. Especially when our hearts are heavy. If you have an alarm system that when you are sensitive to the things around you, when you feel that you are being restricted, that someone has tagged you or something has tagged you, whether your health, whether the culture, whether a bill, whether bad news of any kind, that should be a sign. I need to turn to God. I need to go to Him. I need to go back to the Word. I need to crack open my Bible. Lord, what do you want to say to me today? I need to get down on my knees or go for a walk. Because God hears our prayers. Even behind the wheel of our cars, just don't pray with your eyes closed. But He's there. He's present. And are we feeding into that relationship? Are we cultivating a life in the Spirit? Because I think hardship and trials and pain should not overwhelm us like the waters, should not scorch us like the fire. Those should be things that say, I need to go. I need to go and meet with the Lord. I need to turn my heart back to God. I need to seek Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that His life can freely move about in my own. And let me tell you something. When that alarm goes off, I know it. Just not myself. Not myself. So I want to leave one last verse with you today before we go, before we take communion, before we begin to prepare our hearts for that. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Paul says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Within the Holy Spirit, within our lives, lies the nature of God the Father, the Creator of all things, and the Redeemer, the one who came and gave everything, His very life, so that we could be saved. And that Spirit dwells in us. I think we need to give more thought to that. I know I do. The power that lies within us to be able to walk through the water and not drown. The power to walk through the fire and not be burnt. Lies in the presence of the living God, and that presence resides in us. Simply by faith, by you and I saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to live in me. And I want to say to you that that's just not a prayer for a person who's never accepted Christ. That's a prayer that you and I can pray, even as believers, regardless of how many years we have gone down the road, to say to God, I need you. I need you more today than I've ever needed you. I can't tell you how many times I've said that to God. Lord, come. Fill my life. Fill my life. As we prepare our hearts to receive communion, Janet's going to come and play for us. And I want to give you a moment to think along these lines. Lord, I identify Oh, I realize that I need freedom from. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you need freedom from? What do you need freedom from? What has laid its heavy hand on your hearts and your lives that seeks to deny you freedom in your heart and mind to live as God has ordained? For each of us, I think it's a worthwhile question, because it's always going to be there. What seeks to hold you down? What seeks to hinder your movement? What seeks to deny you to live the very life that Christ came so that you and I could live? Let's pray together. Father, a great many things have been said today. And Lord, we just trust, I know I do, that in and through it, Lord, your Holy Spirit has been speaking to our hearts. I would trust that he even has said things that have not proceeded from my mouth, but have proceeded from the throne of heaven. Because you care for your people and you love them. Lord, we are grateful for what you have done for us through Christ. And Lord, as we prepare to take the elements, to break bread and to drink together, oh God, today, Lord, we know that in your act of sacrifice, that you came to set us free. Lord, we sing about it. We hear it said over and over again. Lord, today will you help us to truly experience the freedoms that have been delivered us through the sacrifice Christ has made for us. Lord, I pray, will you come and search our hearts? Will you draw to the surface of our conscious minds, that which seeks to oppress us, that which seeks to imprison us. As Jesus pointed to, that makes us blind, where we feel the darkness kind of creeping up on us and we lose sight of your presence in our lives. We become discouraged. We feel hope being sapped, life being sapped from us. Lord, whatever it is, bring it to the surface of our conscious minds so that by faith, O Lord, we can come to you and ask for your Spirit to free us, to open up the gate of that cell, that prison cell, and set us free. That the coating that seeks to come upon our eyes and even our ears, O Lord, would fall from us, so that we might see you again and hear you once more. Lord, thank you for this time. We continue to entrust ourselves into your care. And may we be a people who continually seek you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to ask those who are going to help serve communion to come forward. And let us continue in an attitude of prayer. You playing? You playing? Closing?
I could. You want to play?
Yeah. Sorry, did you get it on you?
Lord, thank you for your love for us, oh God. Fill us, Lord, with your spirit to defeat the enemy on our behalf. We thank you, oh God, that we are set free, and who you set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You are dismissed.